For NPR Illinois, I'm Daisy Contreras. For this week's Illinois Issues In-Depth Report, I interviewed columnist Charlie Wheeler.
The argument is that by legalizing marijuana use under tight conditions, strictly regulated, we could tax it. We could stop wasting our law enforcement resources on going after pot users and instead focusing them on violent criminals. By legalizing the drug, we would do away or severely limit the black market, which now leads to gang warfare, criminal activity, sort of similar to what occurred during the years when Prohibition, in theory, banned alcohol in this country, and it led to the rise of criminal gangs and all kinds of violence. And at the same time, legalized marijuana might help to stop the opioid abuse, and it's become a real crisis. Marijuana would be a way around that in the argument of the people who are pushing it. And it could produce some revenue for the state of Illinois, and heaven knows we certainly need all the bucks we can get.
If the bills are signed, what are the revenue estimates for the state?
I haven't seen any good estimates in terms of industrial hemp. On the other hand, for the recreational marijuana, Illinois could bring in somewhere between, maybe $350 million to $700 million a year. And the infrastructure here is already in place in the sense that we already have a number of growing facilities that are producing medicinal marijuana, that marijuana as a recreational use is allowed marijuana, so that you wouldn't have to do that much of a gear up as you might have to do with industrial hemp.
In your column, you talk about legalizing recreational marijuana and industrial hemp in the state. What are the differences between these two?
Botanically speaking, cannabis is one plant, but over the centuries, and its history goes back like 7,000-8,000 years, and over the centuries, it's been bred both for its, what would you say, psychedelic properties, its mind-altering properties. And that's produced a certain strain and variations that we refer to as pot or marijuana or weed or whatever. But then there's also been a strain that's been developed over the centuries for its fibers. And that's what we refer to today as industrial hemp. And the scientific people who do the designations, it's interesting, I was reading some of this stuff, and there's not a settled agreement in the scientific community whether it's the same plant but different variations, or whether it's now become like two separate plants. And they get into all the, almost like the DNA of the plant to try and determine that. But for practical purposes, the legal status in Illinois and in the nation and in the federal government is that it's all the same thing and it's all bad.
In your column, you are also advocating for the legalization of industrial hemp. Why is that? What makes industrial hemp so unique?
Hemp is probably one of the most versatile, most useful plants that exists. And historians trace it back almost to prehistoric times. They found evidence, for example, of shamans and high priests in late Iron Age cultures smoking it for a mind-altering state that then they could tell their followers that they're speaking to the spirits. At the same time, and it's very versatile, and throughout human history, it's been used as a fiber, it's been used for its paper, it's been used as bedding, it's been used for a whole host of different things. The evidence suggests, historians say, that the first drafts of the Declaration of Independence were written on hemp paper. The Gutenberg Bible was printed on hemp paper. Betsy Ross sold the first American flag on hemp cloth. Christopher Columbus used hemp sails and hemp cordage when he came to the Americas. So it's had a long, very varied use in human history. But because of anti-drug sentiment, it effectively became outlawed in the 1930s. Some people will say it was based because hemp, with its versatility and its utility, was a threat to the petrochemical industries that were being developed. Cotton growers were concerned because you can grow hemp in a much wider area than you can cotton. It's a lot more tolerant for cool weather, for example. So whereas you couldn't grow cotton in central Illinois, you could grow hemp. And as a matter of fact, during World War II, the federal government encouraged people. They provided seeds, they gave loans, they wanted farmers to grow hemp because the source of the materials that were used for rope and cordage for the Navy and for parachutes and for combat clothes had been fibers coming from the Philippines. And after Japan conquered the Philippines, we no longer had that source, so there's this massive effort to grow hemp. And Illinois was one of the states that had a pretty flourishing industry. There were plants built to process the fibers from the plant itself into usable materials. But after the war, that all went by the wayside. And then finally in 1970, the federal government declared that cannabis in all its varieties, from the stuff that you'd smoke to get high to the stuff that you would use to make clothing, was a Class 1, Schedule 1 controlled substance. It had no valuable use, and it was very addictive. And so the federal government looks at cannabis, even hemp, which has the definition is 0.3% of the psychoactive ingredient in it, even that was considered at the same level as heroin, LSD, ecstasy, and as being worse than cocaine and methamphetamine in the eyes of the federal government. So what I suggest in the column is that we should try and change Illinois law and the federal level, change the national law so that industrial hemp can be cultivated again as an optional crop for Illinois farmers.
And in your column, you also called the proposal to legalize the use of recreational marijuana to be problematic. Why is that?
I think it would be problematic because you're going to have a hard time getting lawmakers to vote for it. And on a practical level, I don't see it as being causing that much problem. And as a matter of fact, there was a Paul Simon Public Policy Institute poll that came out that found roughly two-thirds of the respondents thought we should legalize marijuana and regulate it the same way we do alcohol. And I think the idea that's been used in the past, that, oh, marijuana is a gateway drug and it has all these terrible side effects, I don't think that that's particularly effective anymore. And I think that, in fact, among younger people, I think it's very plausible that people will hear all this anti-drug rhetoric classifying marijuana in the same category as heroin, and they'll see friends who use marijuana, they'll use it themselves with no bad effects at all, and so they'll begin to wonder, well, the grown-ups tell me that marijuana is so bad and heroin is so bad. Marijuana seems fine to me. Well, maybe heroin is too. Maybe I'll try that. So I think it's counterproductive. And as the sponsors point out, and I agree with this, we spend an awful lot of time chasing down pot dealers, burning down fields of wild marijuana. And I think those resources could be better used going after some of the real criminal elements in society, the people who do traffic in the hard drugs like heroin or like methamphetamine.
And it's interesting that you also bring up farmers. Where do Illinois farmers stand with the issue of legalizing marijuana or industrial hemp?
Yeah, the farmers are more concerned about the industrial hemp than they are about the marijuana. They make the big distinction that industrial hemp is not marijuana in the sense something that somebody would want to smoke. I saw a quote from not an Illinois farmer, but an agricultural department head from one of the Dakotas that said, if you wanted to smoke industrial hemp, you'd need a doobie the size of a telephone pole before you could get enough of the psychoactive ingredient that you would actually feel it. And long before that, you'd be really, really sick. And so it's seen as I said, as a crop. As a matter of fact, in 1999, the legislature passed a resolution saying we should study industrial hemp as a possible way to boost the farm economy in Illinois. And so a task force was set up. They met throughout calendar 1999, and in January of 2000, they produced a report that suggested that indeed industrial hemp was a viable crop for Illinois, and it would be something worth exploring. And one of the, and they made a number of recommendations, the first of which was, let's not classify industrial hemp as marijuana in the same category as the harder drug. And so industrial hemp would be defined as cannabis with a concentration by weight of the psychoactive ingredient of less than 0.3%. And in the wake of that, the legislature in the early 2000s twice passed legislation to allow industrial hemp. Both times they were vetoed by Governor George Ryan, the first time responding to people who said this was a gateway drug and we can't do that, and the second time because the second version of the legislation required some studies, and Governor Ryan said, well, we don't have the money to pay for the studies. And so it's kind of stayed there ever since. Periodically, people would put forward legislation for industrial hemp, and then it never really got anywhere.
And you mentioned that it will be a while before we see votes on these bills. Sponsors of these bills are not currently pushing for votes to happen. Why is that?
Yeah, and I think part of it is a question of educating people. And that's what they have said at the time they introduced the legislation. They hope to have a number of hearings across the state at which people could come forward, learn about the pros and cons, and from the sponsor's point of view, maybe find tweaks that could be made, amendments that could be made to the legislation that would maybe encourage other lawmakers to vote for it. Because it's always a question of getting 60 votes in the House, 30 votes in the Senate. And at the moment, their judgment is, and I think they're correct, those votes aren't there yet. And so they're going to try educating people. They're going to try seeing, are there some changes that we can make that would make you, as my colleague in the Senate or in the House, be willing to vote for it, which is the way the process is supposed to work. There's supposed to be compromise so that you can arrive at a public policy that the majority of the people in the Senate and in the House are comfortable with.
I'm Daisy Contreras. For more information, go to illinoisissues.org.